I want to jump on here before this show and just let everybody know that this will be the last Safety Corner show. It's number 28th, and I've enjoyed doing these shows, but there aren't going to be any more Safety Corner shows. I'm done with it. I want people to understand that it's been 7+ years, and I've worked really hard on building this show at the very beginning when I had lots of people saying to other people to stop fucking listening to this show, don't pay attention to any of this show, and don't pay any attention to fucking Manny and what he has to say. And now the show has gotten to where it's gotten to because of Manny. I have the final say on every single fucking thing associated with TCL, period. Nobody speaks for me. Nobody will ever speak for me. There has to be a discussion before anything fucking happens that's associated with TCL. That's how it works. But when it doesn't happen that way, then I get a little upset. And so I just want to let you guys know, thank you very much for listening to Safety Corner, but I'm no longer going to be recording any more of those shows, and I'm going to focus on other shows. I'm going to continue doing a bunch more of the Construction Life shows, and I'm going to continue doing TNT shows. I'm going to continue doing Building Joy shows, and I'm also going to be introducing a new show called Fitness Fridays with Coach D. He's been on the show before, and we get along very well, and we understand what we want to talk about when it comes to that, because I've always been a huge fan of health and fitness for the tradesperson. No more Safety Corner. I'm done. I'm walking away from it because nobody's ever going to tell me what I can or can't do when it comes to my fucking show.
Bon dia.
Bon dia, Phil.
Oh, Philippe. Wow. Philippe, is that, that's it. You can just call me Philippe from now on.
Well, I like that Chris called you that. So I was like, it stuck out. I pick up words like that.
Yeah, I know.
Like, man. Philippe in other words.
That's listen, it's Portuguese, man.
All right, what are we talking about today on today's episode? Today's we start off with politics. I want to talk a little bit of politics, man.
What do you want to talk about now,
I just saw they're looking to ban TikTok. It might be official April 5th.
Really?
Yeah, but I think...
I thought that was passed.
Nope, no, it's still in the... I don't know if it's fake news or whatever, but I think there's something that Trump's trying to do to not ban it. I think we need TikTok. I think we need all forms of social media so we can decide on the truth.
Listen, man. One thing's for sure, social media has definitely shined a light and shown a lot of things that normally you wouldn't see, right? Like, and it's crazy because sometimes I get my news from Instagram, meaning events happen and Instagram is really quick to show it, and then I'll go search the news like CBC or whatever, and nothing's there. Nothing. And then you maybe like, okay, maybe they're a little delayed. So maybe, you know, maybe tomorrow. And you go check tomorrow and there's nothing there. And then the following week, and you just realize that this thing happened and the media is not covering it at all.
Kind of reminds me of the Wizard of Oz, eh?
How so?
The wizard? Wasn't real. He was just behind the curtain.
Just behind the curtain. Once you get a peek behind the curtain, kinda nothing
reminds
looks the same.
Me, no?
I guess so, man. You know,
we just do things for the people, man. Wouldn't that be like when you watch those futuristic utopia worlds, everyone seems happy and they're all getting along.
Do they? Do you ever see Mad Max?
Not those ones. I'm talking about the unrealistic ones like Star Trek. Everybody's got pristine, clean uniforms and they're all getting along with all different kinds of aliens and everybody, and everything seems fine, but it's just like, where's the WEF in that one? I don't understand what that one is.
Man. You can only hope for a future like that, right? But I don't know, man. We can only think about and do today, I guess.
I think what we should start doing is start getting more land that's being excavated from job sites in Toronto and start pouring it into the lake and start creating little islands and Island of Manny. That's what I'm going to start creating, all these little islands.
Out of all the places that you want to have an island.
No, I'm just saying that you can start building your own government. There it is, right? But I guess you got to get a little further than the lake.
Yeah.
How far do you got to get? And you get to the other side, you're going to get on the U.S.
International waters, I guess.
But there's no international waters in a lake, in a body of lake, is there? No.
No,
it's got to be open ocean.
Yeah.
If there's sharks there, I don't like sharks. But all right, what are we talking about today?
Well, unfortunately, we're talking about some tragedy. By the time this one airs, it'll be a couple weeks at least since this happened.
And it was a month at the hydro worker. That's a recent one.
No, this is all. Let's cover it, man.
Oh, you got that one here too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's unfortunate that there's been a lot of situations.
Yeah, no, it was a crazy week. But this, condolences to the people, the families, the workers. I've never seen something like this.
This was an in-construction project, right?
This is a construction project. So this is the earthquake that happened in Myanmar. Death toll exceeds 2,700. It's going to exceed that.
But do you know, were there workers on the site?
From what I understand, some of these news articles, yeah, there's lots of construction workers.
They couldn't get out in time?
No. So, again, this is a massively tragic incident, but, you know, this is an act of God if someone wants to chalk it up to that, right? When you talk about safety and you talk about things that are just totally beyond control, like there's no amount of safety that would have prevented any of this, right? No. But it's devastating to watch, and it's insane. But yeah, here's this. So this video that we have here is a construction building that's under construction, obviously. You got workers there. You got a tower crane that's up on the building, and the earthquake hits. And this is really crazy to watch. All right, and they're still searching. Workers are trapped. People are trapped. You know, a lot of devastation in this situation. Right. Actually, I read a report this morning, but that they're taking a look at some of these buildings, and it's made with shoddy steel rebar and a lot of shoddy materials. And I guess in these events, you know, and I guess in those parts of the world too, where the probability of having an earthquake is high, you know, there's engineering and designing that goes into making some of these buildings earthquake proof, or at least, or tsunami proof. Or
Japan does that.
Yeah, Japan.
I've seen those buildings with the...
their springs.
The foundations, yeah, the way they're on balancing
they
things.
They move.
So they move with it. So that's what destroys things, when you start cracking structure.
Of course.
So if you don't... You prevent the building from cracking its structure, then it will not collapse, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's the engineering in that sector is definitely proven, right? But I don't know. I don't know if this is the case here. I don't know enough about it. But just watching these videos, you know, it was...
That's scary.
Oh, it's horrible, man. And this video here, this one was horrible too, man. This is a tower crane that's... I don't know if this is the building that's under construction or the building behind it. But the operator of the tower crane is in the cab.
You see him.
And you see him fly out of the cab while the tower crane comes down, man. This one doesn't have volume.
I mean, there's no option here. There's nothing.
No. Like, if you do that in slow motion, you can see him flying out. Right? And some of the other videos
that was all water. Wasn't that water?
Yeah,
that
was, I guess, from the pool building or something like that. There was another video of two buildings that were connected by some type of mezzanine or a bridge or something like that.
Yeah.
And it completely disconnected. There's another video of people in the pool.
I saw that one.
Did you see that one?
They were on the edge there and it started rumbling. Yeah,
one of those infinity pools, 40 stories.
And they jumped out just in time. They got
out just in time, and you see their floaties there. They go off the edge.
Yeah, that was scary.
Right? Like, this is devastating, man. And you know.
But this building never went down.
This one that we're looking at, I don't think so, no. But that tower crane came from somewhere, so I don't know if it's part of this building or another building behind it.
You don't see tower cranes all that much on the outside. They're generally in the center, aren't they?
Depends. Here in Canada, majority of the tower cranes you'll see them in the center.
In the center.
But you go down to the States, a lot of them you see is on the external. And then you take a look at tower crane collapses in New York, and I think we covered this on the tower crane episode. Right? They use those collars to secure the tower crane on the exterior of the building. And if one of those collars fails, they've had chain reactions where all of them fail and the entire tower crane comes off. Right? And I think in New York, one year, they had like two or three.
They were getting a bad rap quite a bit. Well,
City of Toronto had four in one year. So, you know, like...
You know, and a lot of guys in the construction industry, they try to, and even there's a lot of guys now in the union trying to jump the line and get up to that position so they can be the tower crane. Because in their description is, it's good money, like really, really good money.
Oh, yeah. At peak in construction, I knew tower crane operators making over 200K. Right? But now I'm sure, since Toronto is not the tower crane capital of the world anymore.
Well, because of our economic situation.
No, because of Trump, man.
Because of tariffs. Totally forgot. Totally about tariffs.
It's all because of
tariffs.
Trump.
Tariffs and the hair color number orange. Yeah, I get it. I understand.
But, you know, I'm sure there might be a longer lineup of people trying to become tower crane operators with less tower cranes. That's for sure.
I was talking to someone recently, and he did bring up a point. He was like, listen, I understand the difficulties of being a tower crane and the risks. And then he was comparing it to his position because he's heavy machinery in public sector projects.
Okay.
Just navigating those big machines, you have to really be aware of the surroundings and who's around you versus a tower crane is way up there and he's got to be aware of the ants, which are humans.
Sure.
Depending on how you are, right?
Sure.
It's a valid point, right?
They both have challenges. And when you're operating heavy machinery, there's massive amount of blind spots. There's massive amount of things that can go wrong. You know, the ground can give out underneath you depending on where you are. You can flip the machine over on its side. You can strike a worker with a bucket. You can run someone over. Right? There's a lot of variables there too. And, you know, whenever you're operating a tower crane or heavy machinery or equipment, there is a lot of precautions that need to go into play.
Yeah.
Right? And a tower crane is a heavily engineered piece of equipment on a construction project. And a tower crane is also a piece of equipment that is inspected frequently and is overlooked by a lot of sets of eyes. Right. And that, I think for me personally, that's how it boggles my mind that tower cranes collapse in the city of Toronto.
Because there's so many regulations.
So many regulations. There's so much oversight. There's so much review. There's so many requirements. You know what I mean? Like it
makes you wonder as a tower crane operator, when you do see something like this recently, and even the other one that you did last year, the recent one that collapsed, Eglinton, it was North York, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It collapsed on the building. It didn't collapse on the roadway.
Yeah.
Like, the likelihood of a tower crane operator, like the whole PTSD kind of thing, like would they be nervous about getting back into the crane after seeing something like this, right?
And I think, again, comparable is driving vehicles. If you're involved in a serious car accident, you know, you might be hesitant to get back in that vehicle again, or any vehicle, right?
Or even to drive. Motorcyclists.
Sure. If you have one bad spill, it's enough to get rid of the motorcycle.
Right? She even got back up both times.
Right. But again, this is extremely tragic.
This is devastating.
Yeah, no, thoughts and prayers out to everybody there, man. It's just insane.
Now they're just in the aftermath of everything.
Oh, now it's clean up this and body retrieval and emergency rescue and God knows, infrastructure down, electricity down, water down, roads down. Like the rebuild from something like this must be billions.
You're probably going to get politicians to come on that. We need stricter guidelines for our structures now. And
again,
maybe we needed them 10, 20 years ago. Maybe we could have avoided this. I don't know.
Listen, a lot of things that we do, it's in hindsight. Only after it happens, then we figure out how we can prevent it. Right? And it shouldn't always be that way. But I'm sure before they came up in Japan, for example, with that engineering process, I'm sure a couple earthquakes hit and a few buildings fell down and they studied it and said, okay, now we gotta...
You got smart people around the world, man, that have already experienced these situations. Why are we continuously building this?
We're cutting corners. Well, here in Canada, for example, what would serve the purpose of building an earthquake-proof structure?
BC, they do it.
Do they?
There's earthquake implementation in structures there, even in residential.
Maybe I'm guessing because BC has a higher probability of having an earthquake.
But then just make it. I thought all building structures are supposed to be built to stay.
I know, but how can you? This is an act of God, man.
It's a dollars and cents thing.
Well, yeah, listen, you can over-engineer the shit out of something, right? But if you're building a house, does it have to be fireproof, floodproof, earthquake-proof, lightning-proof? You know, like. You're going to get it up to a degree, but it's never going to be 100%.
It's so easy. I'll ask you, if you were building your own structure, would you use a bare minimum? This is your own dwelling.
It would be based on my budget, right? That's the truth.
But it would be based on your budget.
If I could build my own
structure. But if you're going to keep this for the rest of your days and possibly hand it down to your kids and they would hand it down to their kids, are you going to build it better? The minimum.
I'm going to definitely build it with quality, knowing that it's going to my children or something like that, 100%. Yes. But if I had free reign, unlimited budget to build my own personal little castle, oh man, that thing would have all kinds of bells and whistles and machine gun turrets and all kinds of things, man.
What does that have to do with structure?
Absolutely nothing, but I'm mounting one anyway. You know, man, it'd be nice to have a heated driveway and, you know, park my car and an elevator takes it underneath and I go into my back cave. But, you know, I live modestly, man.
Okay.
What so
Next. Devastating.
And then, unfortunately, also this week, we had a fatality in Toronto Hydro. So industrial accident, downtown leaves hydro worker dead. A hydro worker is dead after an industrial accident in the city's downtown core. And again, working around high voltage, you know, some of the considerations. Obviously, this is a very tragic scenario. It's not the first time a worker has died with high voltage and working for Toronto Hydro.
Do you know the details on this one?
I don't. I don't know the details. It was a young guy, apparently, under the age of 35.
Which is the highest demographic, right?
Yeah, for injuries and fatalities, 35 and under. Right, but again, that's your prime working years, right? So, you know, some considerations, obviously condolences to this family and coworkers that were there. You know, some considerations working around high voltage, obviously your PPE and the type of PPE that you're wearing, de-energizing and isolating circuits so that things aren't live, lockout and tagout, insulated tools, you know, maintaining safe distance from energized equipment, and then obviously specific procedures. And there's a few other controls too.
But Toronto Hydro, all the hydro workers are pretty good with having pairs, right? Man, if not more than pairs.
These guys, listen, you play with electricity.
Yeah.
You're prepared to play with electricity. There's
always a group of guys that show up.
Oh, yeah. And these guys have safety through the gills, man. You know, so, you know, it's hard to speculate on something like this, especially as it being this recent. Right. But the fact of the matter is, yeah, he's being investigated, you know, but this worker got electrocuted. Right. And it's unfortunate, man. But it happens, especially when you're playing with high voltage. Right. High voltage is not, you can't take it lightly at all. You know, actually, and just going back to our conversation earlier about robots and AI on our last episode and stuff, some of the tasks these guys do is probably better suited for a robot. Go inside the vault and flip the switch. Right? Like they have for the bomb squad.
I agree.
You know, like that would be.
I agree, but I put my my business hat on, and it's like I'm sacrificing my robot. I'm not saying that I'm sacrificing the human being. I'm just saying the likelihood of that robot being fried, so to speak.
Yeah, it goes up for sure, but the likelihood of getting charged also goes up. Right?
So I'd rather sacrifice a robot over until the robots start getting their rights.
Again, this doesn't happen every day.
Then it's a Johnny Cochran robot that's going to be there defending the robot's life, right?
Robot rights? Is that going to be the Kardashian future protest?
Robot,
2100?
Right? Yeah, Kardashian robot. Ugh. You don't think that's coming, man? iRobot is like unfolding exactly the way it was done.
I don't know, man. TV and
but you're right though. In Bomb Squad, they bring in the little Moonraker machine thing.
Like there may be a role for robotics in these high hazard scenarios.
How about build the infrastructure better?
It's still high voltage electricity, man.
It is, but I bet you there's better ways of building it. But the problem is Toronto is notorious for this. They band-aid everything. Fair. Have you seen the evolution of the streetcar tracks in Toronto?
Well, you're right. Some of this technology
of wires over everything.
Some of this technology is 100 years old.
It's too old, and right? we need to update this stuff. Like how would let's? I'm just saying we should have the city of the future, but that requires, you know, politicians who care about building the city of the future. Well,
that and planners, right? And this is a thing too, man. Some of these city planners and the people that design the infrastructure and figure out where they're going to put this and build this on ramp and put this road. These guys are out to lunch.
I feel like they're out of the city. I don't even think they live in the city and experience the city.
It's like you look at it and you're like, why would this even belong here? Why is this happening? Why? Like you question a lot of this thing, man. Like a lot of these things. But, you know, it's unfortunate. It's sad. Can it be prevented? Maybe. Maybe not. I would say yes. But some of these things, you know, acts of God or scenarios or circumstances. And again, in construction, workplace fatalities, I'll easily say 99% are preventable. But you still get that 1% where it's like, you can't even recreate this if you wanted to.
Right? You don't want the fatalities to continue, man. It's just
no.
It's,
you
there's
don't.
Gotta be other ways to do but it,
Manny. There is. There's another way. You don't want workers to die. Send in robots.
You know, really
that's
sad.
What's going
to
happen.
You know, what was really sad is recently someone I was having a chat with. He asked me to go by his place to just give my 2 cents. Right? I don't know why, but some people actually take my engineering advice, and I'm like, dude, I don't have a stamp. I'm just.
Oh, you're Portuguese. You're already halfway there.
But he did say something during the conversation, and he was like, don't worry, my electrician, he's going to take care of it. We're not even going to call. He's just going to do a hot disconnect. And I was like, dude, don't. Don't. I don't even want you telling me that.
Yeah.
Don't.
No, listen.
That's just stupid because there's too much risk there. Way too much risk.
He's
young, too.
I remember. Well, yeah, I believe it, man. It's crazy things.
30. Yeah. Young.
Yeah.
And that's the mindset. We're going to do a hot disconnect.
No, come on, man. Electricians, man, they take a lot of risks. They take a lot of unnecessary risks. It reminds me once I was doing an inspection on a high rise and I came across an electrician and he was working away and da 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 da. And I start chatting him up and, you know, let me take a look at your certificate of qualifications and all that stuff. And we're taking a look and da da. And I'm like, well, you're working there and the lights were on. I'm like, man, is that live? He's like, No, it's not live. I'm like, how do you know it's not live? No, I know it's not live.
Did you see a tester on his tool belt?
Manny, I finished that sentence not 3 seconds after all he was doing something. Massive sparks. Boom. I look at him. He looks at me. I go, you're done for the day. Done. Don't even say another word. You're done. Grab your tools. Go to sit beside your crew. Point me to the direction of your foreman. We have to have a chat. And away we go, right? But he was fully lying to me. I knew he was lying to me. You know what I mean? And it just so happened to be that...
He's lucky. Could have been worse.
Yeah. But again, you talk to electricians. They'll be like, oh, yeah, I've taken voltage. 120, no problem. Ah, boom, boom. And, I've won so many times.
Did he have goggles on?
No, he had nothing on. I don't even remember if he had a hard hat on. But, you know, electricians... And again, this is different type of electricians and electricity. This... Toronto Hydro is a whole other realm, its own other procedures, its own other world when it comes to dealing with high voltage. But residential, you know, even commercial, stuff like that.
Listen, and not to shine a spotlight on the plumbers, infrastructure on plumbing, water pressure, that could kill you as well, too.
Oh, yeah.
We've had
PSI tests.
Yeah.
And valves shoot right out. We had an investigation once where a valve, I think it broke the guy's rib. Can't remember. They were testing it and the PSI shot it out and hit the guy and broke his rib. Right? Like, it's construction, man. There's a million ways to die. It's insane. So we're not going to read through all of this one. I had to dig into this one a bit. But I gave you the answer already for this one.
2022.
So this was September 27, 2022. I'm guessing this fatality, I have the link here so we can open it up. But worker fatality for Toronto Hydro, $200,000 fine.
That was for Toronto Hydro?
Toronto Hydro. Let's see if we can open up this bulletin here. All right. So what happened? On the day of the incident, a 6-person crew from Toronto Hydro was sent to a work site. Again, this is not the fatality that recently happened. This is a fatality that happened. See what I mean?
A 6-person crew shows up.
August 12th, 2020. A 6-person crew from Toronto Hydro was sent to a work site to perform work in an underground electrical vault. The work was limited to disconnecting energized secondary cables to transform in order for the transformer to be removed and replaced later by a different crew. When the crew arrived, they began work by completing a work site risk assessment form and discussing the contents of the form, including who would perform the various elements of the task. The roles, responsibilities of each crew were discussed and agreed to with each member then getting into position. Stationed above ground, one crew member passed equipment below into the vault. A second crew member received the tools and, as needed, passed tools within the vault. With help from the crew, an apprentice and other workers manually disconnected the secondary cables connected to the transformer while wearing insulated rubber gloves. Together, the crew completed the work of disconnecting the secondary cables. After completing the task, a reading was taken indicating that the current on the cables was too high. To reduce the current, the crew had to perform a different task involving the connection of a previously removed tie cable to another service cable. During the connection of the final cable, the worker was still wearing insulated rubber gloves while securing a bolt with a box wrench and holding an impact gun in the other hand. At this time, the worker came into contact with low voltage electricity. The electrical shock injured the worker and caused the worker to fall. The worker was taken to hospital but succumbed later to the injuries sustained as a result of the electrical contact. So the worker seems like got shocked and then fell.
But if he's wearing electrical gloves, rubber gloves, did he make a ground?
I don't know.
By holding the bolt and I'm was there sure. a hole in the glove?
Also not sure, Manny.
So it's interesting that they said low voltage electricity.
Yeah.
In contact with low voltage.
They highlighted this a little bit more than they normally do. But, you know.
There's a lot of detail in there.
Yeah. They
I'm trying to figure out how did he. I guess it was just enough electricity going through his body. But how did he
low get. Low voltage shocked the guy. The guy fell off the ladder or whatever he was working on. Fell and died because of his fall.
He's got a wrench on one hand. He's got an impact gun on the other.
I don't know. So Section 183 of construction projects requires every reasonable precaution to be taken to prevent hazards to workers from energized electrical equipment, installations, and conductors. And that's what happened.
So then, okay, so who the company was fined? No, Toronto Hydro was fined?
Convicted. Toronto Hydro Electric Systems Limited, an electrical utility that owns and operates the electricity distribution system for the city of Toronto.
What does the union do in that situation? And the
meaning
pension and
at
everything.
The investigation or
if they're convicted, the benefits, if they're found, yeah, the benefits towards the worker so who's fallen.
Depending on the union, they'll have different benefits for their members in terms of fatality in the work and life insurance and payout to families or stuff like that. I don't know.
It'd be easy to be a Toronto Hydro worker to get life insurance.
I don't know.
I remember Carlito telling me that he was doing stage cleaning, window cleaning, seat. You know the seat?
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't get insurance. They would insure
Nobody him. Would insure him because no. it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
So you still do the job. You're taking the risk. But if you something happens.
Well, we're not talking about WSAB. We're talking about personal life insurance.
Personal life insurance.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man.
A lot of people don't get life insurance. You can't. You're flagged, right?
Yeah, depending on the nature of what you do, right? Like I guess so. Maybe they ask these tough questions.
Guys like this in these positions, once you tell insurance companies that this is what you do for a living, it's risk, high risk.
Yeah, I can see that. But again, in terms of the unions, and obviously this is unionized, there's definitely some type of, in the event of a fatality, this kicks in, this kicks in, this kicks in, you know, money for your funeral, money for your kids, money for your widow, who knows, family, I don't know. But there's something, which is better than nothing, right? But in the grand scheme of things, you know, from the collapse of those buildings and earthquakes to fatalities, you know, it's insane, man.
I just figure in this situation, we don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, but six workers were there. One person was performing a task. What went wrong here?
I don't know, Manny. I don't know. Obviously, I know. The worker got electrocuted, right? And that electrocution was enough to send, that jolt was enough to send him flying off whatever he was working on. And died from his fall. Doesn't even mean that he was that high. It could have been only 4 feet or 3 feet, and he got zapped and fell back and snapped his neck or something. I don't know.
Toronto Hydro was
well, not snapped his neck because
200. What did he fall or it just says he succumbed? What was it saying?
It said the electrical shock.
Yeah.
The worker Hospital. Came into contact with low voltage electricity. The electrical shock injured the worker and caused the worker to fall. Right, the worker was taken to hospital but succumbed later to their injuries sustained as a result of the electrical. Maybe it wasn't the fall that, you know, maybe it was the electrical. Just going based
so they're,
on what
yeah, they're saying injury sustained as a result of the electrical contact, so yeah. It wasn't the fall that
no.
killed him.
No, it was the electrical contact.
And then Toronto Hydro was fined $200K.
$200K, man.
Yeah, I think it should have been $2 million.
Anyways.
And I think Toronto Hydro has it, to be honest.
Well, yeah, if I look at my bill.
Yeah, they have a nice little racket. I'm not trying to downplay anything like that, right? Whenever you're doing line protection.
Oh, man.
We can get it done in 9 weeks. It's cost X amount. But if you want it done tomorrow, it's going to cost 10 times the amount.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had issues like that on job sites. So I write orders or whatever. And
Oh, no, these guys can't come out till 6 weeks from now, Philip.
And you need it right away.
Well, okay. So well, then you so guys then are shut down.
It's a little bit of a racket. So then they should be paying out $2 million to this lost worker, in my opinion.
But well, hey, listen, this happened a while. Oh, this one's a while ago. This one's the one that we discussed is more recent one. Let's see how that one plays
out.
That's
going to get out. Yeah.
But I don't see it being higher than $200,000.
That one too?
Yeah. This recent one? If charges are laid.
So if, it's even going to be less, sir, if it's no charges laid.
Well, if no charges are laid, then there's no fines. Oh, man. Right? So, but anyways, that's what I got for today.
That's it?
That's it, man.
What else?
That's enough.
It's only been a half hour.
That's fine.
You don't want to talk about anything else? What are we going to talk about in the future? Well, by then, it's going to be close to day of mourning.
Yeah.
AKA the election.
Apparently, also on the same day.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it all plays out, Manny.
You okay. Know,
maybe on our next episode, we'll place a bet on who we think is going to become the new PM of
Canada. No, I can't place a bet like that because why? I don't know how much Chinese is going to interfere with this, man.
What, interference in the
election?
Oh, but man, there's all kinds of interference. Everybody's vying for position. Everyone influences somehow, some way, somewhere.
We need a blue-collar...
Blue-collar party?
Party.
You keep on bringing it up, Manny. You keep on bringing it up.
I've suggested Jim should do it. He's like, nope, I don't want to do it.
It's a tough racket to be in, man, a politician. For some, I guess.
I think if you become a politician, you either become the villain or you get pushed out. Those are the two options on the table.
Can't be a hero?
Tell me one hero right now that you see. You hear Bonnie Raitt's song right now. Tell me one hero. All you young people, Footloose. I need a hero.
The people I think are heroes, a majority, don't agree with me. But if I was to pick one politician that's doing an excellent job, it's the guy that's running El Salvador right now.
Oh, I was asking for Canadian.
Oh, Canadian politician? You didn't say it. You just said any politician.
No, a Canadian politician.
So the guy that's running El Salvador, that guy.
Yeah, Javier, and also, yeah, there.
I forgot his name.
And I still think that, in my opinion, Trump and Vance are heroes because they're cleaning shit up. But Canadian-wise, I don't even think Pierre. I think Pierre's on the verge of becoming the villain. It's just like...
There's no Canadian politician that I look up to or admire or respect.
Roman was, but he'll never be given
the opportunity.
Keys to the kingdom. They'll never let him in because he wants to stay that way. So either you become the villain or you get pushed out. And Roman's being pushed out.
Yeah.
Quebec's been funny lately. The Bloc and everything like that. They've been funny, but... Quebec and Bloc.
I'm just so fed up with politics and
they're the just worker taking advantage and of this country. It's a shame.
Yeah, that
taking
advantage of this country. I'm just it's man as a citizen, and you look around and you open your eyes, and you know you see what did the report came out? 0.5% GDP growth in 10 years.
That's disgusting.
Compared to the United States, for example, at 20% growth. How do you excuse that as a politician and say, hey, we're helping Canada by destroying your economy?
Look at the math here. I read recently Porsche and Audi, same company, they're building a plant in the U.S. to avoid tariffs.
There's a lot of companies that are going to be moving to the States. So
look at it this way. That's workers in America building German vehicles, luxury vehicles. That's work.
Yeah. There is a bit
We need a pipeline. Start digging the pipeline.
I know, but see, even like I saw the other day, the Ontario government, or was it the federal, I can't remember. They're like, we're going to be doing investments in hydrogen, right? Because now they're moving away from electrical vehicles.
Why do we need to do investments in hydrogen? Why don't we just bring the company who's already perfected it and have them plant here?
I don't know.
I don't need to reinvent the wheel, but then all of a sudden the whole Starlink thing.
Well, not even that. It's the government does these investments. Even like we invested into this car plant and EV battery in Ontario, $5 billion here. And where does that money go? They didn't even build the plant. They shut it down. They're like, it's not happening. Why? Because nobody wants EV vehicles. So now they're talking about hydrogen vehicles. But again, this technology has been around for a while. Toyota's already building hydrogen. Hydrogen.
The Germans messed around with BMW.
And it's clean energy. Yeah, but again, I'm sure there's some downfalls to it here and there.
It's cleaner than EVs.
Right? But like, if you're scientists and you're policymakers and you're looking at this and you're like, you got gasoline, you got electricity, and you got hydrogen. How much would it cost to implement this, 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 and this? And if we have to change the infrastructure, how are we going to do it? And you figure out what's the most viable option environmentally, right? And budget, and, you know, and what makes sense and what's practical and infrastructure. But like with the EVs, the way they did it, the way they rolled it out, the way they pushed it down everyone's throats, but the government didn't have the infrastructure. If they moved all to EVs, we wouldn't have enough electricity.
But they're still building the plant in Windsor for Chrysler, which is being funded by the Ontario tax dollars. Federal, Ontario?
I don't know. Both. I don't know. Probably both. Who's going to be driving these EVs?
As a politician, just basically look at, right now, in my opinion, the pipeline. Just move the pipeline away from American soil and let it travel east and start selling our oil globally.
We canceled.
That's a huge amount of money coming into this country. Yeah,
but this is, again.
And work, jobs.
This is something we've known for the last 25, 30, 40 years. Nobody's done it
because it's a green argument. And all I think all those green people, they should just be buried.
No, simple as that. But Manny, hold on a sec. Let's look at oil too. When those pipelines rupture, and when those things have leaks in the ocean, whatever it may be,
today's technology,
the pollution, the garbage,
today's technology, you go to the country that's never had a burst pipeline, that's always perfected it. You get them and you use their
infrastructure. It's a nature, it's a byproduct of that industry, right? You're going to get leaks, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And the environmental impact of that is just gross. You see the animals
full of oil. Trust me, it's bad.
It's gross, man. And anybody that says, oh, gas is great too. Hey, listen, if you think it's that great, go into your garage, close all the doors, start your car and sit in your car and see what that does to your oxygen level. Right? It can't be good. It causes death. Right? So I understand the argument from switching away from fossil fuels. I just don't understand the execution and the planning and the wasted investments and the green slush funds and the carbon tax and all of these
money
things.
Money laundry, dude.
Even when they did the carbon tax, I did the math. Start calculating how many trees Canada has, how much carbon does the tree during photosynthesis.
Yeah, that's all ridiculous.
You do all the math. It,
then they came back with the winter argument.
I don't know, man. Honestly, they canceled the federal tax or the carbon tax for consumers. I don't even know how many. They canceled it.
They didn't cancel it. They lowered it from the amount that they already increased it. And that's why you saw a reduction in the fuel pumps right now.
Right. I can't
even. So the same people who put it in have lowered it.
And said it's a great thing.
Yeah.
After they took all my money. I know. I get it, man. I get it. And this is what I can't stomach. Right? But
nobody's remembering that.
No.
They're the ones
that did it.
It's like you coming into my house and you kick my dog and then you come back and bring dog treats for the dog.
No, I don't forget you kicked my dog.
You still kick my dog.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And we're in gimmick mode now of the political race where everyone, it feels like I'm at a flea market. You know, this politician, I got this and I got that and I got this gimmick. And this other politician, I got this other gimmick. And this gimmick sounds like my gimmick, but my gimmick is just a little bit different than your gimmick. And we all got these little things to sell and this is what we're going to do and blah, 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 blah. And then they get in power.
They don't do shit. I can't. Voted down.
Oh, no, it's not going to work. Right? And then in the end, they sell you a bag of goods and there's nothing inside the bag.
They should just, in Parliament, they should just put a drape right down the middle.
Wizard of Oz is what we're going
to. Yeah. Around. It's basically theater.
But it is. It is theater on a massive scale. And the people that are pulling the strings for these puppets, it's incredible, man. But
I'm pretty sure if you drop the pot down the stairs, that'll name all the people that are associated with that.
Not just that, Manny. There's multiple industries, corporations, lobby
groups.
It's
money.
Countries.
It's huge money.
Yeah.
Contracts.
Know, massive. And now, and ultimately what I think is going to do is the natural resources is next, right?
The thing is you cannot, and that's the plan, in my opinion, they want to sell Canada's natural resources, not to Canadians.
No.
They don't want them to profit.
First, our bank accounts got drained. And now our natural resource is going to get drained, right? And you think it's going to go to pay Canadian debt?
Of course not.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Start moving.
Because we start selling more stuff.
Start moving the earth and putting it into the lake and start making little countries.
Just so everybody has their own country. That's it.
Done.
I don't know.
Then all right. Store, but anything else? We'll choose another subject on next safety.
Maybe by the time we come back, the election is done.
Maybe we'll see what happens. But yeah, April 28th. Regardless of how you vote, just go out and vote. We should have the biggest turnout. I'd be really pissed off.
I really hope so, man.
Like, it should be the biggest turnout.
This may be the most crucial election.
And I'm talking to a lot of the young, because a lot of young people, they dismiss it.
I hope not, man.
They do. They dismissed the last one, and they dismissed the last two. Unfortunately, like it was in construction. Isn't it
the boomers that are
now? It's the threat is boomers. So it's just like
you they're know, the ones that are all going
to Monkey Boy it. Got in from the young ones with weed, and now Monkey Boy is going to try to stay in from the boomers who are clueless.
How did he get that nickname?
Who, the Monkey Boy?
Yeah.
Anybody that's an idiot like that is a Monkey Boy. You know the theory? It was an Irish guy that taught me this. You pay peanuts, you attract the monkeys.
I've never heard it.
You never heard that one?
No.
That's why they're always monkeys on site. They always do a shit job. They just like rip everything apart. Well, you're paying them peanuts.
Mm, I get it.
If you pay them fairly, then you wouldn't have monkeys on set, right? You'd have proper tradespeople.
I don't know, man.
But that whole part of it.
All I know is green drape, it's all one big telenovela, man. That's all it is.
Planet of the Apes movie. That's what it's going to be. They're all monkeys, man.
They're definitely getting their strings pulled.
Technically, is that hate speech online? Me calling them monkey boys?
I don't know. I think it's in context, no? I don't know. They're just bad at what they do. But or really, really good at what they do. It all depends on perspective.
They're really good at what they do because they get away with it. Nobody's talking about, and Pierre should be talking about that too. There should still be investigations into Trudeau.
There should be massive investigations.
You don't get Scott. You don't get, but no way.
Honestly, again, this comes down to draining the swamp. That's what it comes down to. And Doge and corruption. But anyways, that's a wrap. Thanks, everybody. Ciao.